How does building relationships help us hand our struggle over to Jesus? You are listening to the podcast, Handing It to Jesus, where we learn to trade our deepest struggles to Jesus for peace. My name is Matt Tilley, and I am sitting here today with Craig Faust. Hey, Craig.
Hey.
I'm really excited about this episode, and I hope you all are as well. I think this is maybe, every episode is hard. Everything that we're asking you to do is so crazy hard, guys. We're encouraging you and challenging you to do a lot. Relationships are messy. And I think that building relationships on the level that we're asking you to do it, where we get vulnerable, where we have intimacy, and we talk about hard things and hard emotions, this is a different kind of hard.
Absolutely.
Wrestling with your own inner turmoil and your inner emotions and grieving and having more insight and understanding as to what it really is that you're holding on to, the underneath the surface, the roots, that's hard. But then having the kind of courage and risking something to share that with another person is a whole nother level of hard.
Absolutely. Well, and I don't know if you have this experience. So, I know you do because we just talked a little bit about it. Is that it's hard for some because they haven't ever had it modeled to them. Especially yeah. In our society, in the particular place that Matt and I live, which I think is a pretty good representation of a lot of the world in some ways.
Are you talking about America?
I'm just talking about it in the culture that we have here in Missouri. Oh, men really aren't encouraged to share a lot or be vulnerable, right?
No.
And people ask, how are you doing? You're supposed to say fine, right? All these little subtle messages of always be okay, always put on a certain front.
Right. I would say that that's true across the board for men and women, maybe a little bit more for men, that you need to be okay. Don't talk about hard things.
Yeah.
Bury it down. Sacrifice to the point where if you have an issue with something, if you're hurt or offended, don't talk about it. Just let it go. Let it slide down your back. Be fine. Don't be hurt. And that's good advice to a point, to not let something affect you, so that you're not living in a world where you're constantly a victim. Because you don't want to be identifying yourself or seeing yourself as always somebody who's hurt by others and hurt by the world, because you can't have really healthy relationships that way. However, you also can't really have healthy relationships by constantly burying your pain.
Yeah, there's a dichotomy there.
Yeah.
And so let's first talk about the why. Why are we talking about this? So one of the things that the Bible makes clear is that God, for their own reasons, for his own reasons, has decided that he wants to partner with humans and have them do things in this world and seek God for wisdom. For whatever reason, the human, especially after taking the fruit of knowing good and bad, they are not able to discern good and evil, even though they have a vague idea. All right, there is a very limited ability to kind of discern what me doing right now is going to have an impact on the future or even generationally or anything like that. So there is this broad theme of God partnering with people. And we see this as an example where God is partnering with a family and God partners with a nation, right? Where God is setting up these different partners, whereas from what we understand from the Bible, God is perfectly capable of doing.
Yeah, he doesn't need to
doing anything he wants on his own. But for whatever reason, God has decided to do this, and if God has decided to do it, it's good.
Yeah.
So for us,
when God made Adam, the first thing that wasn't good was that he was alone.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yeah. So there's certain wisdom that we are wanting to lean in two with this, is that there is a theme throughout the Bible, right, where two or more are praying in Jesus' name, Jesus is with them. There's a certain theme that God is wanting people, communities, this right relationships. This is ripe for how God wants the world to be and how it's going to be whenever heaven and earth merge.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we have this opportunity now as we're struggling, we're learning to turn to Jesus to trade those deepest struggles for peace. And sometimes that turning to Jesus also looks like turning to other followers of Jesus, turning to other friends, turning to other people that are supports that you want to get closer to, because God shows up in that relationship.
Yeah, I would say at some point in your struggle, it always includes turning to other people as well, after you turn to God.
Yeah. Which you might as well do, because whatever struggle that you're going through is most certainly affecting other people. Even on our best efforts not to affect others, we most certainly do.
Yeah. We have encouragement all over Scripture. I mean, if you want to do a theme study on relationships, go ahead and do it. You're going to find a plethora of stories and information and way God chooses to use people, like Craig was just saying. You know, we see that...
Partner with people.
That we're encouraged to not neglect meeting together. We are encouraged to stir one another up towards love and good works. We are encouraged in Proverbs that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we see in Revelation that at the end of time, that it is a multitude of peoples from every nation, tribe, and tongue who are praising God, that we are all together with one, in Christ, praising Him. And so all over the place, from the beginning to the end, you see that God is bringing us together with the whole purpose of glorifying and worshiping Him. And that's what we're encouraging you to do as well, as you think about friendships, relationships, your marriage, your kids. To do the hard thing, press into the heart, and engage and move towards somebody else.
Absolutely. So there's a difficulty here, and the why is because it's in the Bible. It's a theme there.
Yeah, that's right? The easiest answer, yeah. Right?
That's what we need to do, because we're not made to do this on our own. We're made to partner with God, and we're made to do this in a community of fellow believers. So we know this because it's scripturally what we see repeated over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why this section is here. Now, I would say that for most of us that don't really know how to have those relationships, this is where we want to grow, right? This is where Matt and I are going to talk a little bit about what this actually looks like. But the first thing that we need you to get in your mind is, who are these three people? I was going to say, what are these three people? Who are these three people? At least three that you're wanting to get closer with.
Right, that you see the potential for. Right, like the building blocks might be there.
Or just your interest. You felt drawn towards them for whatever reason. And it would be preferable if, as with most of these relationships we're going to talk about, it'd be preferable if they're also a believer.
Right. We want you to feel like you could potentially trust them, feel comfortable with them, that they love Jesus, that they love His Word. And we have a couple other things to consider as well. Like, you can read this in the workbook, but this person does not directly benefit from you resolving this struggle right away. Like, for example, a spouse might want you... may want to push you to reconcile some struggles because it's relating heavily to your marriage. And maybe it's hard for your spouse to hear this struggle without making it about the marriage or about themselves. Thus, it's making you less likely to want to talk with them and open up about your struggle. Having a deep and intimate friendship can greatly benefit your marriage and make you feel like, well, I have somebody else too that I can go to and be vulnerable with, who's not going to make it about the relationship. And I have more encouragement and trust that I can be vulnerable about all of it. And for your spouse to know as well that, hey, I have this friend that I am going to, that I can go to, and I'm sharing with them and working through this struggle with them too.
And in the hopes that's going to help things be better with your spouse too.
Exactly.
But we'll give a little more specific examples about that too. Like Matt said, like, we have these different guidelines. Big thing is if they can be a believer.
Yes.
There is a real risk in trying to have a deeper relationship with people that aren't believers and potentially talking about the struggle, because they may give you like reasons that it's okay. Let me give you a real simple example. Lust.
Yeah, right? Pornography or whatever, right?
If I go to talk to somebody that's not a believer, they may tell me that, hey, you know what? You're not cheating on them. It's okay to look at pornography and masturbate.
It's a natural thing to do, they might say.
And they may even say that, like, you know, masturbation isn't really even talked about in scripture or these different things, right? So they may talk about all these different things while missing the heart of the matter, while missing the damage that it is, because they may be doing the same sin without
and
recognizing
they
want to
convince
that
themselves
it is.
That it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Right? So, like, there can be, one, competing motives, or they can be citing to you research that is not submitted to scripture.
Right.
Right? It doesn't
and the scripture
take
would actually contradict, right?
Yeah,
that's,
absolutely.
That sex or sexual drive is a need and a basic function that you have to get met in order to be okay. That's not the way that scripture describes sex, that it is a gift from God and to be used within marriage in the context of bringing about children and delighting in your spouse.
So we want to be really conscious about these people that we're wanting to be closer with being believers, if we can.
Yes.
Right? If not, then your first goal should probably be to get involved with other believers in some way, a congregation or church or different things like that, to try to expose yourself to more believers. In the meantime, you can still build relationships. We want to be very conscious about when we share these struggles that someone may not understand, and we can kind of preface some of those things, right? So if I'm talking about lust, I'm talking with a friend that's not a believer, I can preface, hey, my religious beliefs say this about this, and I just want to talk to you about the struggle that I have, and I'm not going to contradict these beliefs, right? So, like, this is the path that I know I need to be on, but I just need to talk about how difficult it is. Like, would you be able to do that with me? You'd be surprised, like, how often friends are willing to do that. Like, so it's hard to see someone that you care about suffering, but if they're given a clear boundary of,
that's,
you know,
right.
Not that they're not allowed to contradict it, but if they're given a clear boundary that, like, hey, I am still doing this, I'm choosing this, I just need to talk about how hard this is, it gives someone a playbook of how they're supposed to respond.
Totally,
right?
Yeah.
And, like, they can be okay with you going through the suffering because it's not their job right now to make you feel better. It's just their job to be there.
If they're able to hold those boundaries with their own worldview, then yes, they can still be of aid and help. They can still be a friend, a good friend to you.
Yeah.
As counselors, we have to do this too, where somebody has a different worldview who's sitting in our office, and we still want to bring some level of aid and healing in their life. Well, I can't tell them, your worldview stinks and you need to have my worldview. That's not going to be helpful. I need to meet them where they're at in their worldview and do the best that I can to bring some of that perspective or healing with the path that they know that they want to take. And it's not my job to convince them otherwise. It's my job to speak truth. It's my job to love them. It's my job to pray for them. It's not my job to convict people.
Yeah.
And so if you find also a non-Christian friend trying to convict you of something very different, maybe that's not the person you share the struggle with.
Absolutely. But you can just spend time with them because it's a practice in vulnerability still that we're wanting to get. But again, that is much less ideal. The ideal here, finding another Christian.
Well, I would even say too, with another Christian friend, it's not their job to convict you of whatever your struggle is, your suffering is, or your sin is. And if you find that a Christian friend is essentially shaming you, they may not be a person at this moment in time that you can trust with that struggle.
Yeah.
So not every Christian is at a place where they can be a good friend at this time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's you. Maybe you're not the person that could be a good friend to others at this time. That's okay, because you've got time to grow and mature and seek wisdom and truth.
Oh, perfect, perfect movement there. So, like, when we have these three people that we want to get closer with, one of the things that we want to do is set up a bridge to being able to talk about the struggle. All right. So that bridge is, one, confessing that struggle to them, letting them know that this is something that is going through, and asking permission to talk with them about it.
Right.
Because that way they can say, hey, I'm not at the place to be able to do this. It's not that I don't care about you, right? Or I don't care about what's going on. Not all of us are in a place where we can do that.
Yeah.
Right. Is this just human? You know, as somebody, it's no different than, like, Matt and I, we see clients for, you know, that are going through a lot of different struggles. There is some point or another where I don't have room on my caseload anymore. I don't have the emotional capability of taking on more people. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't want them to get better. It's not that I don't care. Not that my heart doesn't go out for these people. It's that I am at a certain capacity.
Limited. Yeah.
And I can't do that anymore, right? If I'm going through a huge struggle with my wife, I'm going to show up less for my friends. Not because I don't love them.
But so, you have priorities within your relationships. Have you ever heard that analogy of, like, how to think about your friends in terms of where they're placed in a house? That we have maybe front yard friends, we have living room friends, and we have bedroom friends.
Yeah.
And that really the front yard friends and the living room friends are very small groups. Front yard friends are people we don't even let into the house, people who have been in our lives and we've needed to kind of kick out of the house because they've continued to break all this manner of crap in the house. Right. They're not abiding by our rules or our boundaries. And so we need, like, maybe they're still kind of adjacent to our life, but we don't really need much of a relationship with them.
Right.
We don't need to allow them to see inside the house, to have much involvement in our life or influence in our life. But generally, it's a small pocket of people that really need to have that firm or strict of a boundary.
Yeah.
But sometimes we do need to have friends that, no, they don't get to come in. Living room friends, you're going to have a large group of people who are living room friends, people that we allow to come over. We host them. We entertain them. Usually whenever I have friends come over, I pick up the living room space. I pick up the common areas, and I kind of make it a little bit more presentable to them. But they get to see kind of the decor on the walls and the way that we live. They get to have some level of influence. We let them make a mess in the house. You know, we're living with them. It's great. And that's a lot of people can fit in the living room. A lot of people can meander into the dining room and the kitchen. And there is relationship. There's connection. It's beautiful. It's great. That's maybe a lot of where our community is at, too, if we have community within a church or work or school or whatever. But then we have bedroom friends as well. This is also a small group of people. I don't think we can really have more than three or four people fit in that bedroom and it feel comfortable.
Right.
You do not have the emotional, spiritual, physical, mental capacity to invest in more than three or four friends, because it is hard, hard work. It takes a lot of emotional resilience. It takes time to build into those friends. It is hard to listen to their stories and remember all of it and to be validating of what they're going through. And it's hard to share all of yourself with them as well. But those bedroom friends, man, they get to see all of the junk in your room, the unkempt bed, clothes all over the floor, how messy your top of your dresser is and the dust that's accumulated there, speaking from experience. Your laundry basket, you know, the clothes hanging up in your closet. They see the skeletons, right? Yeah. And hopefully you get to see their skeletons. Like, this is where it gets deep and intimate.
So interesting. So I'd flip that. Because bedroom friends, that almost feels, because we don't want to get it mixed with, like, intimacy. So for me, I have a basement. If my friends go in the basement, they see all the junk that I have down there. and all the different things. I have these storage bins.
Let's twist the analogy, however it's going to work for you. Like where you have the most of yourself.
It's like if they see me, they have the most opportunity to judge me there.
Yeah.
And but also to see what am I holding on to? What is it hard for me to let go?
Mm-hmm.
What is important to me?
Totally.
And what is the most disorganized part of my life, which is my basement. And so,
yeah, I guess for me, like a good representation would be my little office or man cave down in the basement too, you know?
Yeah. So when we are talking about like making friends, these are the people that we want to be closer with. We want to be intentional by making sure that we're meeting with them frequently enough. Doesn't always have to be face to face. Could be over like texting, calling, whatever, Zoom, Skype, you know, whatever people use now.
Skype.
FaceTime.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So we have this time that we're dedicated to building the relationships.
Right.
So doing things together, talking about things, doesn't always have to be the struggle. But the thing that we want to be really intentional about is when we actually do want to talk about the struggle. Mm-hmm. This is something that we want to try to do at least once a month. And we want to let them know that we want to.
Yeah.
Right. So like
maybe even schedule in a time, right? Yeah. To say, hey, can we meet up and have a check-in?
Yeah.
Talk about hard stuff.
Mm-hmm. So like this also doesn't always have to be an individual. It can be a group. So like I got a guys group that I feel pretty comfortable being open with and, you know, them being vulnerable with and the different struggles I'm going through. And I get to do that 2 times a month. But at the same time, there are times during that 2 times a month that I'm not as open or I'm not as vulnerable. So, right, if I'm going there 2 times a month, I'm like, all right, I got this. But I wasn't intentional about being open. Mm-hmm. We're wanting to work on that intentionality of being open and raw, especially about the struggle that we're going through.
Yeah, that's right.
And this
sometimes
intentionality
it's easy
is
to
important.
Back away from it, right?
Yeah.
And like we get to mix it up how we do it. Like a guys group can be great, or a small group or community group, whatever it is that you might have in your life. Mm-hmm. I think we need that level of community camaraderie with multiple people. I think individual and groups are both very appropriate for how we can open up about a struggle. Yeah. And I think
that,
maybe we need
that
both.
May be the building relationship part. So when you're thinking about this like individual person, that can be really important, but sometimes your group dynamic can accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. Reveal who they might be from that group. Mm-hmm.
So the big thing is giving yourself that time and that space to be able to speak about your struggle personally with other believers, because sometimes God may put a word in their mouth to share, right? May put a comforting tone on their heart, may have them soften to you.
That's right.
Be accepting or loving
That's
in
right.
these moments. These things that we can't do for ourselves, and these things that in prayer we may have a hard time receiving from God, other people can be that proxy for God's love and moving in that right relationship the way that God has designed us to be.
The way that he's done it all throughout history as well is using those people to speak his truth and his love to others. So like we asked this question at the beginning of the podcast is how does building these relationships help you hand the struggle over to the Lord and let go of it? And in the counseling world, I love this little phrase of corrective emotional experiences. Mm-hmm. And even though it is most often relationships where we are hurt the most in our life and we take on these wounds and these shameful beliefs, believe it is also relationships where we heal the most in our life.
Right.
And so some of these, you know, intimate things that Craig and I have talked about of what we believe about ourselves, some of these shame statements and where our disconnect about how we view God is, often what God does is that he can use these other friends or people in our life when we are vulnerable with them and we hear the response back to us, not just once or twice, but maybe 10, 20, 100, so many different moments in our life where we finally hear them speaking truth to us and challenging our beliefs, speaking love to us and giving permission for our hard emotions, weeping with us, giving us a hug, giving us a punch when we're being maybe sometimes foolish, to have them engage with us in a way that is corrective that we never really got to experience before. Mm-hmm. And we experience a different emotional response when we hear that truth rather than if we just hear it from ourselves or just reading about right. it. We experience a different emotional response when we are challenged with something or when we are loved in a way that we had never really experienced love before when we thought about this struggle.
Right.
And when we experience those different kinds of emotional things, it starts to stitch together something that's been broken.
Yeah. Well, and it can pave the path for us to continue to share and for us to share deeper, a more vulnerable, more open way. Right. One of the things that Matt and I talked about when we wanted to do this podcast is how can we be as raw as possible and as vulnerable as possible, which is very difficult with microphones and mm-hmm. different things like that, knowing that other people are going to hear this. And a lot of it has to do with just the conversations we have before we start this, where we're just checking on each other's lives.
Sometimes we're chatting for like 30 minutes or an hour before yeah. we start up the podcast, guys. I love it.
Yeah. And the thing is that for me, there's something that you offer me, Matt, where it's that whenever I talk about these crazy things about the struggles that I'm going through, there's no condemnation in your eyes. There's no judgment. There's a certain amount of acceptance. Shoot, there's even a certain amount of relatability that
word
that you share. And then we have these opportunities to go through and talk about scripture in relation to these struggles that we're going to talk about. And, you know, whenever we're recording, and it does help provide that corrective emotional experience that I may feel that my way, you know, this way about me. Matt doesn't feel this way. And you know what? There's nothing in scripture that supports that God feels this way about me either. Mm-hmm. So it allows that new upload, which then makes it a little bit easier to be more open whenever we talk about it next time.
Totally.
You know, it's kind of creating that stairway down to the basement to invite somebody new into that unfinished part. So we do these relationships, and we want to do this. One, we need the relationships. There's a biblical precedent for it. We want to be in right relationships with other people. We want to be able to practice what that looks like. You know, the better friends that we are with other people, the more ruptures that we have, the more likely we're going to be successful in getting through those. And I would say, yes. like, finally, you know, in the corrective emotional experiences, then I would say finally, we also want to do this because people have different perspectives of God's word. And sometimes those perspectives are the iron sharpening iron, right? That is the way of being like, I never thought about God's word that way. I never understood how that could apply there.
Right.
I didn't understand this context of this. We're opening up the door to learning more about God's word because someone else is also being affected by it.
Amen, yeah.
You know, it's this.
So we learn more and understand more of who God is, too, when we're in relationship with other people. That's why, like, attending a local church, being a part of the greater invisible church is so beautiful and important. We experience more of God. I think we experience more of who we are as well. Mm-hmm. And I think I shared it before, but I love that analogy of, you know, when C.S. Lewis was reflecting on his friendship with J.R.R. Tolkien, and they had a third friend who died early. And he was trying, in his grief, trying to find one silver lining. He said, well, maybe I'll experience more of my friend Tolkien, since this other friend isn't there to take up as much of the time. And he actually realized he experienced less of Tolkien because that other friend was able to bring out a side of Tolkien, a part of him, that C.S. Lewis never could. Mm-hmm. So he actually not only lost his one friend, but he lost a little bit of Tolkien, too.
Yeah.
And so, like, when we engage in relationships and enter into, like, this intimacy and vulnerability with them, we experience more of each other. Another part of us might come out that we hadn't realized was there. And because God is involved as well in these godly relationships, we also start to learn and see a little bit more of who God is. And what's so cool, Craig, about, I think, our relationship is, you know, I met you a couple years ago. Like, we weren't friends then. We were working together. But we were starting to build these blocks of friendship right. as we started doing some therapy groups together. And then it transformed into starting to do this podcast together and talking a lot more in depth about faith issues and faith beliefs and struggles. And our relationship is continuing to develop and to turn into more and deeper friendship as we go on. Like, you just came to one of my son's first birthday party a couple weeks ago. Like, we're starting to step into other areas of each other's lives outside of, you know, recording a podcast together and working together. Right. And often there's a natural flow to relationships that often look like what's happening between you and I. And what's cool is that, well, because of the nature of our work with this podcast and the therapy groups, is at least we have a common interest that has drawn us together to talk about hard things.
Right.
And I will always use a common interest and a friendship to help draw me into more vulnerability, intimacy with a friend.
Right.
So, man, I have loved our friendship and how it's grown. I am hopeful that it will continue to grow. And I expect, too, that if we start entering into other parts of each other's lives where maybe we have our kids hang out and play together a little bit more, like, we might start seeing some ruptures or disagreements with stuff. I'm honestly not even worried about those, because I think, and I'm confident of, that we will be able to repair those moments. Because I know more of your heart. I've seen more of your heart and your struggle and your intent. And I think I believe the best about you. So I think the repair will come easily when we have a rupture someday.
And I think it's a beautiful thing about growing friendships, is that the better friends you are with someone, the more freedom I believe that it gives you to look at how you are treating them.
Mm-hmm.
As I was growing up, my lack of confidence in who I am, my lack of value in who I am, it played out as me being aggressive, putting down others, quick to joke and jab and then blame them for being offended. It was a place where I could make friends, but I always had people at arm's length. And this still shows up a little bit today. And some of those friends that I had whenever I was younger, they're hesitant to get closer, even though my behavior has changed quite a bit.
Right.
But the thing is that the deeper friends you become with someone, the more opportunity you have to voluntarily look at you and how you're engaging with them, and to allow confrontation to help you to grow. Right. Yes. So if I can talk to somebody about something that's going on and they can offer me a view or an experience that they've had with me or a thought that they have, I'm more likely to take that in. The same thing has happened with biblical truth. If somebody can tell me a biblical truth and I am friends with them, it's easier for me to mull it over, because the strength of that relationship makes me have extra consideration for what that person says, and extra critical. And I don't mean like negative critical. I mean like extra desire to examine why I may do things that I do. Right. I had a friend not too long ago that told me about like how critical I may be or harsh in different moments. And it gave me an opportunity to sit there and examine that and decide that I didn't want to be that to them. It didn't make me angry or upset at them. If maybe they were a worse friend, perhaps I would have gotten defensive, but they weren't. They're a godly friend. They're a wonderful friend. And because of that, it gave me the time and space to really consider, was what they're saying it's true? And then I recognize they are. What is going on there?
Yeah.
What kind of, it helped me iron out some insecurity that I had. That I would not have actually taken that opportunity to look at before.
Right.
So it's a big deal.
Yeah. It's like the, how do you experience me moment.
Yeah. Well, and it's a, so this is me jumping around because this just jumped into my head.
That's okay.
Much easier for me to do that when the other friend is a male than it is a female, which I think is one of the things that we actually put in this building relationships. A lot better to have, be able to have those same sex, deeper relationships. Sometimes that's just not who people gravitate towards, and we just need to make sure that we have very strong boundaries for that. But I would always recommend trying your best to have those same sex relationships with other believers.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes things much, make much more sense for your spouse. I understand not everyone's like that. If you're confident in the
boundaries, everyone's married too. So maybe you don't feel that, that urgency as much. But even if you are single, like as much as you can be friends with the same or with the opposite gender, which is good, I think even if you are single, having more intimacy with those of the same gender, you will find perhaps a little bit more camaraderie when and if you find the right person that you can trust. Perhaps easier understanding of your circumstances and what you're feeling or going through.
Yeah. You always want to make sure that if it is a different sex relationship and you're married, that that relationship is not outpacing the spousal relationship that you have.
Yes, that you're not more emotionally vulnerable with that friend than you are with your spouse.
If you are, then that's something that you need to consider and reflect upon and try to explore in your own machinations and with maybe other friends that you can trust and your spouse to, like, what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
That's making it a little bit easier, because realistically, our spouse is often some of the hardest, you know, our spouse is the hardest person to be close with because they know the most about us.
Mm-hmm. Can wound us the easiest.
They've seen us at our worst. They see us, and because they see us at our worst and we have the most to lose by them leaving, there's a high risk with that. And friends, it's often a lot easier to be able to be vulnerable with.
Right, because there's not maybe as much at risk or as much potential for hurt.
Yep. So scientifically, this is something that we know, and I believe is in support biblically, right, that if we have a differing sex, you know, friend, and we are consistently vulnerable with them and they consistently respond well, our attachment system is going to come online, and that attachment system is going to want to continue to draw us closer to them. That's not a bad thing until it turns sexual, until all of a sudden those desires there. Now we're fighting this desire to confide in this person and to try not to have sexual feelings or to try not to have space for them. Whew, that becomes
very dangerous.
It's just easier, honestly, in a lot of ways, just to really set up a strict boundary that you can be close and possibly talk to other people with that, but to only allow yourself to be vulnerable in so much as it allows you to have a good relationship, not always pursuing a greater depth of that emotional relationship. Again, don't let it outstrip your spousal relationship.
Yeah. And that's the easiest advice. And you can kind of tell what that looks like in terms of your time spent with an opposite sex friend or in terms of how vulnerable or how deep you go with an opposite sex friend.
And how honest you can be about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what's the intent there or anything like
that? And that your spouse is in the know, too. Mm-hmm. They should be in the know of what you're talking with an opposite sex friend or how much time you're with them. Yeah, so, I have opposite sex friends from people I knew way before I got married, and I'm still friends with them, with maybe 2 to 3 people, you know, that I would say that I'm closer with. But when I got married, my relationship, my friendship did change. It had to change. It had to morph. Because now my wife was my closest female friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say for the purpose of this struggle, especially if it involves anything like sexual or lust-wise, it's really a great idea to have it be opposite sex. So we have these recommendations. Again, you probably heard us talk about certain flexibilities and all of them. If you're someone that is a newer believer, or you're someone who knows has a certain amount of compromise in their own belief, in their own stability, in their relationship with God, be more strict on the structure that you allow yourself to have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the more distance we feel, you know, away from God, allow yourself to be more strict on, I will need to connect to believers. I need them to be opposite gender. I need them to be not directly benefiting from this. I need them to be people that I can trust, or I have these interests and I want to form these bonds mm-hmm. with. Right? Allow yourself to be more strict with who that person is, because that's going to be more of a benefit to you in the turmoil and the struggle that you're going through.
In the long run, it'll be easier to form those bonds mm-hmm. of connection. That's right. I think maybe we might do another episode where we talk a little bit more about the how. It's like, well, how do you approach somebody? What do you even say? What do you start with? And what are those common interests that can draw you together?
Absolutely.
So we might explore a little bit more of that for you. Like, forming relationships is incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. I like what C.S. Lewis, again, has said about relationships or friendships. That they happen in the moment whenever you can say to another person, "Oh, really? You too? I thought I was the only one." Right. That friendships aren't just formed out of thin air. They are discovered, not created, discovered whenever you realize that you have something in common with somebody else.
Absolutely.
Friendships are shoulder to shoulder, where you're both looking at the same goal. Friendships have to be about something else mm-hmm. rather than just the relationship. Often, you know, romantic relationships, you're looking face to face. It's often a lot more about the relationship. You're talking about each other and how are we doing and are we okay and
right.
how much I love you. Though it's also powerful to have shoulder-to-shoulder moments with your spouse where you have common worldview and vision and goals. You have to have that in a friendship for it mm-hmm. to survive. But then not only do you discover a friend, then you have to build into that friendship. And that's where it takes the emotional energy, the physical time. It's hard to right. build in that friend. And then what can happen sometimes in those friendships is now in our culture, they can pick up and move halfway across the world. And all of a sudden, we don't have that time and connection with that friend like we used to.
Right.
So it's hard.
So I think you're right. Well, it is hard. There are intricacies. In the next episode, we'll talk a little more about that, how, to give you an idea.
That's right.
If you're someone that does struggle with that, maybe you're someone that's listening to this that has a ton of friends that are Christians. Awesome. If you're not, then, you know, that episode would be a good one to listen to.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you taking time to consider this. Appreciate you joining us. And we just want to let you know that we love you. And we care about you. We know that God loves you and cares about you. God's made you to be in a relationship with other people, and that's an Amen. Important part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way, we're in relationship with you right now, too, although it might not be a traditional relationship, or it might be mostly one-sided, where you all are hearing more from us. If you guys do want to reach out to us and connect with us, feel free to do so. We have our email in the show notes.
That's right.
And we'd love to be able to hear from you. And, you know, to give this a little more back and forth, but, you know, think about those people that you can be close to you, that you can have those face-to-face interactions with. It's just so crucial. That way you can experience a little bit of God between the two of you, a little bit of Jesus there. You pray together, talk about the struggle together, open yourself up to that possibility. And until next time, we hope you take care.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way, if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, and this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want, and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that I want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content, and God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much, and we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah, thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.